Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I got up early on this Lord's Day with the sun peeking through the curtains. Thought I'd wait a line for a couple good hours and still make the 10 o'clock sermon. But the sky is blue and the breeze is cool and they're biting good, not to mention. If I live right now, I might make it somehow, but I doubt I could pay attention. I'd rather be on a day with my mind on God in the middle of His creation, in an old John boat with my Zipco rod for some private conversation. There might be a few people talking bad about me when they see that I'm a-missing, but I'd rather be on the lake with my mind on God than in church with my mind on fishing.
Now, I know what you're thinking. If you've known me for any period of time, what in the... Why are you playing country music, son? Well, because it's a fishing song. And we got the director of the Pensacola Big Game Club Tournament. Robo Wibbs is here with me. He is the tournament director, and they got the 53rd annual Pensacola International Billfish Tournament going on right now. And I thought, in deference to my good friends at the Big Game Club, I would indulge a little country music, because let me tell you, there are not a lot of rock songs about fishing. Robo, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, sir. Robo, are you there? All right, he's locked in. It's up. Bummer. Where is he at? Is he? All right, Robo, can you hear me, brother? Oh, man. I'm going to be so bummed out if this doesn't work out, because I just had him on the line a second ago. All right, hey, John, would you talk for just a second? Let me see if I can figure out this phone for a minute.
Yeah, let's take a quick look at our traffic right now. Vehicle crash with roadblock. If you're on Johnson Avenue and between Davis and 9th Avenue, make sure that you plan around that one. It's a vehicle crash with a roadblock, and it's going to take you a little while. Traffic is really backing up right there. Also, I-10, I-110 looking good right now. Highway 90 coming out of Pace into Pensacola, starting to see some delays there through the construction zone.
Thanks so much, John. Sorry about that, but we got it figured out. Robo is here now. Man, I'm so bummed you didn't get to hear me play you the Trace Adkins. Robo Wibbs, the tournament director for the Pensacola Big Game Club at the Pensacola International Billfish Tournament going on today. Robo, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks for having me, Andrew.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, okay, so pretend that people out there who don't know anything about this, that'd be me, okay? I am absolutely not a well-instructed person when it comes to this subject. What is the Pensacola International Billfish Tournament? When did it start, and what's happening today?
So this is our 53rd year, one of the oldest billfish and pelagic tournaments on the Gulf Coast. And it typically leaves off on Thursday, and the weigh-in is Friday and Saturday. But with the forecasted weather we had early in the week this year, we had to push the tournament up a little bit. So all the boats left after the captain's meeting, which was late Wednesday afternoon. And so we're going to do one day of weigh-ins, which is going to be late tonight. So the boats have to be in line at Palafox Pier by 8:30. The scales actually open at 3, so there will be a handful of boats that are going to want to come in early, but I think a lot of the boats will come in closer to 7 p.m.
So they're really trying to get every last minute of fishing in case that last minute produces a result that's going to get them a prize. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. So it's typically about 56 hours of fishing and are on the water, and this year was shortened to about 49. So they're trying to milk it for all it's got.
What sort of prizes are on the table? I mean, what can they win and what kind of categories?
So there's a bunch of money out there. There's blue marlin, there's catch and release, there's wahoo, dolphin, tuna, there's swordfish. We actually have a blue marlin coming in that measured at 118 inches lower jaw fork length. And that's going to be up. We actually have a big blue prize. It's for the heaviest blue marlin over 700 pounds, wins $35,000. So
Wow. They're
going to be pushing that. It's going to give it a heck of a scare being 118 inches. If it's got some thickness to it, if she carries the weight well, then that's really going to give it a run for its money. And we've got four blue marlin coming in to be weighed. We've got one swordfish that we know of that's coming in to be weighed, as well as a bunch of tuna, mahi, and wahoo.
So if people want to watch, that's going to be today, and probably the biggest competitors are going to be, you know, after 8:30 or at least after 7 o'clock, and this may go into the night, the weigh-in, right?
It could. It could. We've done that before. And, you know, I can tell you this. Most of the big boats will probably be in closer to 7, just so they're not cutting it too close.
Yeah.
But, you know, it should be interesting. The fishing has been great out there. There's been a lot of catch and release, and it's going to be down there at the end of South Palafox at Plaza de Luna.
Okay, and as people may not realize, if you're just a, you know, not involved participant, you can come and watch and see the event. We already have other plans, so I'm not able to come tonight, but I would definitely love to come watch it sometime. And, you know, I think it's, you know, I mean, I've never been to that level of deep sea fishing, and I would love, you know, I think it's amazing stuff that y'all do.
Man, you'll get to see all the great boats. We've got 36 great boats fishing. They're all big and beautiful. And then it's free to the public. Jocko's will be down there with some food and some drinks. And we'll have a retail trailer. Kona Ice will be down there. So there'll be a bunch of stuff for people to do while they're down there, as well as get to see all these big giant fish that live in our immediate waters.
And one last thing before we let you go, talking to Robo Wibbs here, is you guys are opening in the fall a Center for Conservation and Research. Is that right? It's being constructed right now?
That is correct. So this club started back in the early 70s, in 1970, and it's always been on our mind to be able to have our own Center for Outreach. And this is finally coming to fruition with you know, the generosity of the club. Gary Sluter in the club has helped out a lot. The whole board has helped out a lot, and the generosity of the community has come through. And through here, we're going to be able to do a lot more outreach. We partner with the Gulf Coast Research Lab over at Southern Miss, and then as well as the Dolphin Island Sea Lab. And we're hoping to partner a little bit more with, like, the high school, the Escambia County School District High School Marine Biology Program.
Oh, yeah,
we're getting some satellite tags for next year, so we'll be able to deploy them. And then, you know, we can bring the kids in and show them how all the data works and tracks down all the fish. And it's really something special. We've got other plans, you know, kids fishing clinics and that kind of stuff for the summer. So, you know, the Escambia County Backpack Project is a big beneficiary of ours. And hopefully we can move their fishing rodeo or move something that they do down there to, you know, it's out on Gulf Beach Highway on the water. So once we get the building built and the dock built, it'll be really something special for the community to enjoy and get a little more education for, you know, all these beautiful fish that we have out here right here in the Gulf of Mexico, right out of the, in our backyard.
I love it. I love it. Well, Robo Wibbs, he is the tournament director for the Pensacola Big Game Club. Robo, keep me apprised of how that comes to pass and when that actually gets to be open. I'd love to come out and take a look at it. But tonight, again, starting at 3, but really the big stuff is probably going to be more around 7 o'clock and thereafter. If you want to watch, weigh in at the end of Plaza de Luna, down at the south end of Palafox. Robo, thanks for the time, and I look forward to having some great results tonight, man. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us. See y'all there.
Absolutely. 717 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. We got traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. If you're on East Johnson Road, just east of Davis Highway, there is a vehicle crash with a roadblock that happened. That's between Davis Highway and 9th Avenue. So be prepared for that. Tons of backup starting on Johnson Avenue. I-10, I-110 flowing very smoothly. If you're coming out of Pace on Highway 90 into Pensacola southbound, you're going to see some delays through that construction. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. If you have a hardware project you're working on, or you have a home improvement you need to do, or you just realize I'm out of nails or hammers or safety gear or all kinds of other things, because Pensacola Hardware has got it all, literally everything you could possibly need. If they don't have it, you don't need it. I mean, because they will have it. I've been in their back warehouse, you know, and they've been around since 1861. So, you know, they've been around for a minute, and they have a lot of stuff back. I mean, 1851, excuse me. And, you know, some of the stuff back there, I think, is maybe more than 100 years old, but they have it because you might need something. And the storehouse of supplies and resources is unbelievable. They've also got, in the front of the store, they've got all kinds of housewares where you can buy, you know, grills and cookware and knives and, you know, Yeti merchandise and SEC merchandise and all kinds of stuff. So whether you're buying a gift for somebody or whether you need, you know, some kind of supplies for hardware, they've got it all. Pensacola Hardware, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Here's today's Strength for Life. This Sunday is Father's Day, so to all you dads out there, happy Father's Day. I praise God for those of you godly dads who are bringing up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That phrase, bring them up, refers to the responsibility that a father has to be a provider for his children. Thank you, dads, for the many ways that you provide for your children as you bring them up. The word nurture in the verse implies protector. So thank you, dads, for being the protectors of your family. And the phrase, admonition of the Lord, implies spiritual direction and sometimes correction. So thank you, dads, for providing spiritual direction with your wise words as well as your godly example. Godly dads, faithful fathers, you that are the protectors and providers and pastors of your home, you are the backbone of this nation. So thank you for your ministry to us, and happy Father's Day.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Thinking about a side hustle? Why not turn your hobby into a home-based business with a home embroidery machine from Daryl's of Pensacola? Daryl's Sewing has many embroidery machines to choose from, and they have single-needle or multi-needle machines, plus plenty of thread and supplies. Financing is available. Daryl's Sewing, 6705 North Davis Highway between Creighton and Burgess. Online at sewinginpensacola.com. The folks at Daryl's say, when you buy from us, you get from us. That's sewinginpensacola.com.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are all words you hear a lot about in today's world. But what do they mean? How do you get started? You can start by tuning into the Pensacola Expert Panel this Monday at 10:30 a.m. Join me, Lexi Mendoza, and I'll show you how to navigate the fast-growing landscape of digital advertising this Monday at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin. 4 to 7 on News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 722 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News, and joining us in just a second, we have Dave Greenwood. He is the Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County, and of course, his beach report is brought to you by All Season Service Network. We guarantee to always provide the best service in the area. Dave Greenwood, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, thank you, Andrew. Happy Friday to you.
And happy Friday to you. Hey, how did junior guard tryouts go?
It went wonderful. Both of our sessions are filled. The slots are filled, and we begin our first group starts on Monday. Starts Monday, and then second one will begin in July after the air show.
Very cool. What do we got going on this weekend in terms of conditions for the surf?
Oh, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be a gorgeous Saturday. I don't know about Sunday. You know, it's kind of iffy on the weather, but today's a beautiful morning, and Saturday is going to be another, I believe we'll set another record because last Saturday, over 27,000 cars came through the toll plaza on Pensacola Beach.
So don't count on the 1 p.m. arrival. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, plan ahead. Plan ahead. You know, either come early and leave early or come late and stay late.
Yeah, either one of those. It's that come right in the middle that gets you in trouble most of the time. So green flags, you're thinking probably today and tomorrow?
Yeah, probably today, maybe into tomorrow. Looks, you know, we've got this nice dry weather and north wind over the past few days. It's been really, really comfortable out there.
And
it's been hot, yes. It's been hot, but still comfortable and dry.
Very nice. And how well are people adjusting to the new flag system? Easy peasy, no big deal?
No. You know, like I say, we implemented a few weeks ago before we made the formal announcement, and it went off without a hitch. So
great.
So we're doing that okay.
Outstanding. So obviously, as you know, sharks have been all in the news for the horrible attack that took place over Fort Walton and that young girl who, I mean, we all know. But also what you see a lot of on social media is look, it's the Gulf. There's sharks everywhere. And, you know, shark attacks are very, very rare, but you know, we're swimming in their backyard, right?
Yes, of course. You know, it's an unusual event, and of course, it strikes as horrific, and it strikes fear and uncertainty in everybody. But I'm telling you, the statistics, if you look at the past few days in Pensacola, the people that have been killed in auto accidents are much, much higher than truck incidents.
Right. I mean, and we all still get behind a car, even though we know, just like what happened yesterday, as you said, you can die getting behind a car. You know, you can get hurt going in the Gulf. Do you not do it for that reason? You know,
it's you know, it's just a very, very small risk. You know, of course, if it happens, it's horrific, but it's a very, very small risk. So, you know, that's you know, I swim a lot in the Gulf, and I see sharks every now and then, and they're really, really not the problem that a lot of people, you know, make them to be. But and, you know, it's other stuff. Like last year, the whole big story was sargassum seaweeds approaching Pensacola Beach. Oh my God, what are we going to do? And you know, it's just a natural occurring event. And you know, we had sargassum out there about 4 weeks ago, and now it's subsided, and we're back into the normal beach weather.
It is true that every once in a while, my industry does make a little bit more of something than needs to be. And so I try really hard not to do that. That's one of the reasons why I like having you on. Like for last year, you were always explaining, this is not a big deal, people. This is just normal. So there you go. It's just normal. And as you said, everybody's forgotten about the sargassum because that was last year's catastrophe. So that's a good note about the things that are happening. Dave Greenwood is the Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County. Dave, as always, thank you for teaching us, instructing us, keeping us safe, and spending some time with us every Friday. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Andrew. I'll talk to you next weekend and let you know how our junior guard program's going.
Absolutely.
It's a hot, humid summer day and your AC stops working. What do? You call All Seasons Service Network. All Seasons has been locally owned and operated since 1967, offering 24/7 emergency services with multiple technicians ready at all times for your future HVAC needs. From residential to commercial, All Seasons provides installations, new construction builds, and any other kind of HVAC needs. Visit allseasonsnow.com to schedule an appointment or call 850-434-0384. Call today.
7:26 here on News Radio Pensacola. John Pickens has got our traffic on the fives. John?
It's brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. If you're on Johnson Avenue, right by Eli Road, you're seeing a vehicle crash with roadblock both east and west directions.
All right, very good. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Yeah, a Texas man died after being electrocuted in a hot tub at a resort in Mexico. The man and another person were in the hot tub at a resort in Sonora when both of them were electrocuted on Tuesday night. Officials say the man and woman were taken to a hospital in El Paso. The woman reportedly now is in critical condition with life-threatening injuries, and investigators say faulty wiring may have caused the whole problem. The Supreme Court has sided with Starbucks in a labor dispute over seven employees that were fired in Memphis. Those employees were known as the Memphis Seven. They said they were fired back in 2022 for trying to unionize their Starbucks. The National Labor Relations Board issued a complaint. Starbucks took it all the way to the Supreme Court. And I don't know if you guys are fans of House of the Dragon on HBO. I've never seen it personally.
That's the prequel to Game of Thrones.
I believe so.
I watched like three episodes and I don't know. The squirrel ran by and I lost interest.
Gotcha.
It wasn't that it was bad. I just didn't go back to it yet. So.
I've never seen that or the original the Game of the Thrones show either.
The Game of Thrones, whatever.
I don't know.
Of the Thrones show.
I've never seen either of them, I guess is what I'm
trying
to say.
Well, we all learned that pretty obviously just there.
House of the Dragon, though, if you're fans of that, that's being renewed for a third season.
Okay. All right. Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. 7:28 here on News Radio Pensacola. If you are an employer, you have employees. That means you have benefits. That means you have to deal with HR and payroll and, of course, benefits like health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability. And if you love what's happening right now in that regard, then great, do nothing. I mean, you know, ignore me. That's fine. If, on the other hand, you'd like to find out if there's a better way to do it, a cheaper way to do it, more options for your employees, that, to me, was the big advantage of going to Torgerson Causey. They've been doing this here locally for more than 20 years for local businesses like yours. We started using them about seven, I think, years ago. And really, like, I didn't realize what we were missing until we started working with them, and we had options and choices and people who really knew their stuff. And when we had questions, they had answers. And when my wife asked the questions that I'll be honest, drive the insurance agents crazy because most insurance agents are more like salespeople. They're not like technicians and don't understand this stuff. And so she would ask questions and Reed always had an answer. And if he didn't have an answer, he'd always get back to her with a good answer. And she's like, I approve. And listen, if my wife, the industrial engineer, approves of you and you're an insurance agent, gold standard. I'm just telling you. So they are fantastic. Torgerson Causey, help them, give them a call and get a no obligation review of what you're doing at your business. 433-9996 or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. 729 on News Radio Pensacola. Bit of a frustrating note for those of us who watch military aviation stuff. The Osprey, the V-22 that had been temporarily grounded because of the crash incidents that have taken the lives of members of the military. And, you know, they were kind of investigating what's the problem. That's the tilt rotor one that you take off like a helicopter and it flies forward like a propeller plane. Those big, propellers, a very loud platform. Anyway, they fly out of Hurlburt, so you see them in the area periodically. They are currently under a flight restriction. The last I had read, it was you can't be more than 50 miles away from a landing base. Haven't seen any other reporting on that, but that's the one thing I've seen. Well, that limitation is going to continue through mid next year, according to Vice Admiral Carl Chibi, the head of Naval Air Systems Command. NAVAIR said that during a House Oversight Committee hearing on Wednesday. So they still haven't completely figured it out. They're safe enough to fly on restrictions, but they don't trust it for long distance. And by the way, coming back with Meet Your Tenant Commands, what's happening on board NAS Pensacola?
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. A reporter's question to President Biden at the start of the talks with the Italian leader at the G7 summit, Fox's Manuela Rivera.
The president took one question from reporters as that meeting began, whether he's snubbing British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. The president said no. He is expected to talk about artificial intelligence with Pope Francis, who is the first pope to participate in G7 talks.
The British leader, a hardliner on illegal migration, faces uncertain future with the British election set for July. The response from the U.S. military.
Pentagon announcing it dispatched a submarine to Guantanamo Bay. The fast attack submarine USS Helena is in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, as part of a routine port visit.
That's to Russian warships in Cuba for military drills. Fox's Lucas Tomlinson reporting. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 731 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne, 78 degrees this morning. A Pensacola man that was already in prison serving a life sentence for murder has been handed out a second life sentence. 25-year-old Ellis Clark was already in prison for killing 20-year-old Marcus Atienza. He and co-defendant Nicholas Wells were sentenced for that last year, but this week Clark found guilty of shooting and killing 24-year-old Andrew Howard at the Northwoods apartment complex in December of 2020. Prosecutors say Clark was attempting to rob Howard at gunpoint when he shot and killed him. Prosecutors say Clark conspired with Nicholas Wells, who was Howard's half-brother, to rob him of a substantial amount of money. Wells was also charged but took a plea deal. He was sentenced to 20 years. Clark's two life sentences will be served consecutively. Former Escambia County Commissioner Doug Underhill has been cleared of ethics violation complaints. The complaints were made last year by David Baer, chairman of the Triumph Gulf Coast Board. The complaints involved filing inaccurate financial disclosure forms after he left office. The News Journal, though, reporting that the Ethics Commission ruled there was no probable cause for the complaints and dismissed them. Underhill previously faced an ethics complaint that was dismissed in September of last year and in 2020 was hit with a trio of complaints that resulted in a $35,000 fine. One person has died after a four-vehicle crash on the Escambia Bay Bridge yesterday. That happened just after 2 p.m. on I-10 East. One of those vehicles caught on fire after the crash. Escambia County confirms one person died. Three other people were hurt and taken to a hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Well, the Florida Highway Patrol says they're still looking for any information they can get on a fatal hit-and-run that killed a bicyclist just over a year ago now. That happened June of last year. When a silver or a white SUV hit a 61-year-old man on a bicycle riding on Sorrento approaching Blue Angel, troopers say the SUV most likely would have sustained damage to the front windshield. FHP is looking for somebody who either had a windshield replaced around that time or parks and hides a vehicle with tarps or in a secluded area. If you have any information, contact FHP. Well, the Escambia Sheriff's Office is holding their free community movie night tonight at the Dixon School of Arts and Sciences on North H.
We start at 5:30. We'll serve free hamburgers, free hot dogs, and then we'll show a movie at 6 o'clock. I don't know the name of the movie, but it's going to be a great movie. We use our big screen. It was donated to us by the Escambia County Sheriff Foundation to allow us to have these movie nights.
Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons there, and on their social media event page, it says the movie they'll be showing tonight is Sing 2. Simmons says the money for the food all comes from funds that are confiscated from drug dealers, so no tax money is spent to hold those events. It is 7:34 News Radio Pensacola, and John's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
Well, thank you. If you're on Johnson Avenue still between Davis and Eli Road, both the eastbound and westbound lanes before you get to Eli Road are closed off right now. That's a vehicle crash with roadblock. My suggestion, either take Scenic or just Davis and then head down to Olive Road and come back if you have to go there. Other than that, I-10, I-110 flowing very smoothly this morning. That's a look at your traffic. I'm John Pickens.
Thank you, John. And now a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We're going to have a beautiful sunny day today with mostly sunny skies, high near 94 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. Keeping the weather nice and sunny on Saturday with a high near 95. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 78. For Sunday, 50% chance of rain, high near 90 degrees. Low Sunday night near 78. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
It is 78 degrees right now at Pensacola, 75 in Gulf Breeze, 76 in Milton. Our next news at 8 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The entire value of the S&P 500 currently stands at $45.5 trillion, according to FactSet. Tesla CEO Elon Musk claimed that his company's Optimus humanoid robots could eventually make the automaker worth more than half of that. Musk said Tesla is not embarking on a new chapter, but is writing an entirely new book for its future. Tesla first revealed its plans to work on humanoid robots in 2021. Treasury yields have fallen again as data released this week pointed to easing inflation. The 10-year Treasury yield was trading at around 4.211%, down 3 basis points. The 2-year Treasury note yield was down 1 basis point at 4.679%. Yields and prices move in opposite directions, and 1 basis point is equivalent to 0.01%. Futures are moderately lower. Yesterday, the Dow Industrial lost 65, the NASDAQ up 59, the S&P 500 up 12. That's your money now.
NAS Wedding Field is a major training facility for our United States military. It produces more than 1,200 pilots a year and is the home to the largest air wing in the U.S. Navy and produces 100% of all Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard helicopter pilots. But NAS Wedding Field has a lot more to offer and makes a huge impact to our local community. Tune in this Monday at 9 to hear what's happening at NAS Wedding Field on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pro Paint Days are back at Lowe's. Save $40 on select 5-gallon HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams Paint, like Weather Shield, Showcase, or Ceiling Paint. Plus, save $10 on drywall PVA primer and get free same-day delivery to the job site when you order by 2 p.m. Lowe's knows paint. Lowe's knows pros. Offers valid through 6/14. Delivery by 8 p.m. Subject to driver availability. Additional terms apply. See Lowe's.com/same-day-delivery for details.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
What do you need, son?
Need to borrow your bow.
Let's drop some lead on those motherfuckers!
Light them up.
They ain't gonna sink this battleship, no way.
This one's for you, Chappie.
This is Iron Eagle. I am the flight leader of an American assault force.
Sent to recover Colonel Ted Masters, whom you are unlawfully holding prisoner.
I've been to Ted!
No way.
If I'm lying, I'm dying.
Well, boys, I reckon this is it. Nuclear combat toe-to-toe with the Ruskies.
Hey, what about Major Kong?
So I know this series has typically focused on the Navy because that's the bulk of the missions here at NAS Pensacola, NAS Whiting Field, and Corey Station. You can hear that I reconfigured that one ever so slightly in deference to my United States Air Force guest that I have in here today. And it made me the most happy to see the smile on his face every time he instantly recognized every single sound clip that I was playing. Joining us now here in studio, I have United States Air Force Colonel Shane Seamus Moscato. He is the commander of the 479th Flying Training Group, located on board NAS Pensacola. Colonel, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Great. Thank you so much, Andrew. It's fantastic to be here. It's not an airplane, but it's still a great morning.
Very good. Well, let's start with this. I think the average person, and this is why I wanted to do this series, the average person listening to us right now, they know all about the base, and they had no idea that there was an Air Force training component on board NAS Pensacola.
Yes, and that's where we are. And I'd really like to start off with the fact that it's called Naval Air Station Pensacola, right? And so Oftentimes, you know, in the military, people say, hey, where are you stationed? Where are you stationed? It kind of has a negative connotation with it, if you will. And what I want to really thank is all the public listening and the people of Pensacola and yourself for having us out here. The great thing about Pensacola is this is home. It's not a station. It's nothing negative. And really, that's what I'd like to start off by recognizing this morning is the community that Pensacola is, the support that it provides to all the military, to include us airmen on NAS Pensacola. So, yes, we're a 900-strong formation. So there's 900 people in the group, and that doesn't include the other roughly 600 airmen in the Pensacola area. So it's about 1,500 airmen in NAS Pensacola. So I always like to say Pensacola is absolutely a Navy town. I will not argue that, but it does have a gigantic Air Force footprint.
I just want to pause there for a second because there were minds blowing up all over the listening area. They're like 1,500 and 900 on NAS Pensacola. Wait, what? Well, that's why I wanted to do this series, because you have no idea. So for people who, again, you know, don't know, which is, I think, most of us, you know, you have 900 people under your command. You have four different subordinate organizations. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. So the 479 Flying Training Group, we are the sole producer of combat systems officers for the United States Air Force. And then within the formation,
the Air Force equivalent of the NFO in the Navy. So the backseat pilot or the additional seat backseat person in the airframe or the additional person. Go ahead.
You got it. So Captain White Cricket, who I know you spoke with earlier. So Trey Wing 6 is the equivalent to my formation. So both of us have a like mission set, just mine is for the Air Force and Cricket's is for the Navy. So then within the group, so the 479 Flying Training Group, we have four squadrons. There's the 479 Student Squadron, which is kind of the care and feeding of our you know, students going through the program. There's the 479th Operational Support Squadron, which, as it alludes to, is the operational support to facilitate our mission. However, what's worth noting in there, they have an Air Force-wide program as well, so the Electromagnetic Spectrum Operations School. And actually, yesterday, it was a privilege of mine to go to the graduation of 12 NATO officers that just completed our program.
Oh, nice.
So we were able to graduate some Norwegians, Italians, Germans out of that program. So that's fantastic as well, which is, you know, again, a hidden element.
Right.
A hidden element within NAS Pensacola.
Do we do a lot of CISO training for foreign officers here?
No, so that's opposite.
Oh, you said that's in the electromagnet. Yeah, so that's the support squadron. That's right.
Schoolhouse. But then the other two squadrons we have is the 451st Flying Training Squadron. And they operate our T-1s and do the advanced portion of our syllabus, and then the 455th Flying Training Squadron, which conducts our primary initial flying training with the T-6.
Okay, so let's walk through that a little bit, because this is why I think it's really good to have had Cricket on last week, because he explained the Navy component. And you guys, is it fair to call you a mirror setup to what Training Wing 6 does with training the NFOs?
It's very similar. In fact, you know, if you were to dial back when I went through this program as a young second lieutenant, it was split between NAS Pensacola and Randolph Air Force Base. At the time, it was joint specialized undergraduate navigator training, and it was a joint program. The Navy and the Air Force were okay. One and the same. Around 2009, 2010, when our program shut down in Randolph and came here to Pensacola, it was intended to maintain a joint presence. However, that's where the great division happened, and the Air Force is training the Air Force, Navy's training the Navy. But by and large, yes, it's almost a mirror image. There's some differences, obviously, in how the Navy trains and what their mission set is, and how we train what our mission set is. But it is very, very similar. And Crick and I have a very positive relationship. Often, times. What's lessons learned and best practices we can learn from each other.
And just so, because I want to make sure for people who might not have caught the other interview and don't understand what Training Wing 6 does. So you will take people who have been in ROTC, you'll take people who went to the Air Force Academy, and these are people who are not going to, essentially, and pardon my civilian lingo, but they're not going to pilot the plane, but they are going to operate all of the other aspects on board a plane that's going to have more than one occupant. So not your F-16, but like your F-15 Strike Eagle, or like on a C-130 that's, an attack aircraft that would operate like out of Hurlburt. Yep. E-3s and E-8s and B-52s and B-1s that have people beside just the pilot. Those are the folks that you're training. Combat systems officers is the broad category. If they're operating offensive things, it's weapon systems officers or WISOs. And you do the entirety of their training before they learn the specific platform that they work on. Do I have that right?
Andrew, you have it. So it's, CISO, combat system officer, is an umbrella term. And so what we do is we take newly commissioned officers, typically. Some will be prior officers who want to transfer over to the aviation field. But we take young officers who have no aviation experience, more than likely. We turn them into aviators to do exactly what you're talking about. So it's not piloting, but it is providing the support for what the mission set specifically is doing. And it is that umbrella term that you alluded to. So special operators, weapon systems officers, navigators, electronic warfare officers that are doing, whatever the specific mission set is. So the pilots will, do all the pilotage, get the aircraft into position that it needs to be, and then our graduates ultimately go to their formal training unit to hone their mission set to specifically conduct operations as required.
The pilot brings the platform to the location, and the CISO or the WISO brings the ordnance effect, or the jamming, yep, or the whatever needs to be done to the target you've got there. We're talking with Colonel Shane, call sign Seamus Moscato. He is the am I saying Moscato right?
You are.
Okay,
just
good.
Like the wine.
So make sure. What's that?
Just like the wine.
Just like the wine. Got it. Commander of the 479th Flying Training Group here on board NAS Pensacola, but with the Air Force. We'll come back to this in just a second. John's got traffic on the fives.
That's right. If you're on East Johnson Avenue, just east of Davis Highway, between Davis Highway and Eli Road, you're going to see an accident with roadblock. They have blocked both the east and west directions right now. So just be aware that I'd take scenic or just keep traveling on Davis till you can go to Olive Road and come back up. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you've got a plumbing need of any kind, a leak, a drip, a weird sound on the wall, or just, something's wrong with the pressure or the temperature, Barbary Plumbing, they'll take care of you. Flat rate pricing by the job, not by the time it takes, so you know the cost before you say yes. 477-8782 for Barbary Plumbing. Back now to the colonel of the 479th Flying Training Group, Seamus. So I look up in the sky on a given day in Pensacola, and I see the T-6. The T-6-2 Texan, and it's flying overhead, and I think to myself, oh, well, that's obviously coming from Whiting Field, where Fez is training his pilots in their primary flight instruction. Not necessarily. That could also be out of Training Wing 6 on board NAS Pensacola, where we have Cricket is training the NFOs for the Navy. Okay, so it's one of those two, definitely. Not necessarily. It could also be for the 479th Flying Training Group, where you're training the combat systems officers or CISOs. How will I know who's doing what by looking up at the plane?
Sure thing. So, distinct paint jobs is how you can differentiate if it's an Air Force T-6. So when you look up, if you see a T-6 with blue wings and not orange, Those will be the ones assigned to the 479, specifically our 455th Line Training Squadron.
Got it.
And of those, there's 24 that we have assigned to our formation.
And that's the first phase. That's primary, would you call it?
Yeah, so that's our primary phase. That's okay. Oftentimes, you know, we'll have young officers getting into an airplane for the very first time. You know, mm-hmm. they've never even touched an airplane before, so their dollar ride is in a high performance T6 aircraft.
And then the second phase, the advanced training for the CISOs, is going to be in the T1A Jayhawk.
That is correct. Yep.
And okay, so I didn't know this, and in prep for the show, I looked it up and I thought, you know, I have seen those tons of times around the area, and I just always thought it was somebody's private plane.
Yep.
Because that's what it looks like. It just looks like some rich dude's flying out of NAS Pensacola. You don't have a lot of civilian jets flying out of NAS Pensacola. So tell them what they would see and tell them how to recognize that that's your guys and gals learning to be a CISO.
Yes, just as Andrew described there, you know, the T1, it looks like a small business jet. And what we have done is we've modified that for our training. So, you know, if you were to go buy a T1, if you have some extra cash laying around, Andrew, if you were to buy yours, then come over and see what we have. It's going to be significantly different. So we've actually modified it. We'll put two students in there. There'll be a pilot and two instructors, and they actually will do that kind of operation like we discussed. You know, the pilot's going to be flying to where it goes, and then as we fly around in the local area, simulating effects, simulating, you know, weapons employment, electromagnetic spectrum operations via those two stations on the airplane. So, and then we'll do that both mid-level and low-level. So we'll fly a lot of the low-level routes just north of here, about 1,000 feet in the T1.
Very good. And this is the sort of the mirror image companion plane, if you want to think of it, for the T-45 Goshawk that the Navy flies. You guys fly the Jayhawk. And they're not, I mean, they don't look at all alike. They're not similar in any way, the T-45 and the T-1, but just in terms of the role they play in your training pipeline, right?
Yeah, so, you know, the T-6 we use specifically to provide some initial airmanship. Right?
Okay.
Up, down, left, right, how do I talk on a radio? And then we start getting into that mission honing skills in the T1 before we put wings on someone's uniform and send them off to their formal training unit, whether it be down the street at Hurlburt Field if they're going special operations, up to Seymour for F-15Es, or off to Barksdale if they're going to be going to B-52s.
So I'm driving north on Three Mile Bridge coming into town. I managed to catch a T1 up in the air. I recognize it. Is he pretending that I'm a surface-to-air missile site and he's trying to jam me as a target?
Yeah.
Is that the kind of stuff that I...
We have some unique methodologies for and tactics, techniques, and procedures of how we go out and conduct our operation. What I do want
that's a military yes. Okay, that's a military yes.
What I want everyone to know is we're honing the skills of our young airmen to go out and, you know, protect our security, our values, and our prosperity, and rest assured we're doing that with everyone's best interest.
So if you're out in the open, you could be a target. Excellent. I always think that when I see the C-130s, you know, the AC-130s going overhead, and I'm like, I know they don't have rounds in there, but I'm thinking, okay, I know what's going on here. All right, so after they graduate with you, then they're going to go off to learn the particular platform. And I mentioned a handful of them before, but maybe just tell people some of the roles that you send people off eventually to graduate from your program here and what planes they get on board and what kind of missions they conduct. Because, like, you spent two tours at Hurlburt.
That's correct.
And so, you know, staffing the Spookies, the gunships, that's part of what you train people to do, right?
Absolutely. So again, we'll put combat systems officer wings on our students anywhere from the 7 month to about a year, depending on what platform they're going to.
Okay.
We will then source out across the Air Force, send it to the special operations community, the bomber community, the fighter community, and the ISR. So, you know, the folks that we send down the street to Hurlburt, they're going to end up being members of the MC-130, the AC-130, and the U-28. You know, for the fighters, it'll be limited to the Strike Eagle, so they have 15E backseaters. The B-52, the B-1, we'll send WISOs off to those platforms. And then the RC-135, which is really, you know, the backbone of our military's understanding of other adversaries' weapon systems that we'll use, you know, our ISR capabilities on.
Do we also send the KC-135s also?
No longer to the KC-135.
Oh, not anymore. Okay, no. Got it. That's the refueling
plan. And then we also
plan.
Do
okay.
send to a couple of the unmanned aerial vehicles.
Okay, so you do have a drone component.
Yes.
Okay.
So we not here locally, but they'll go through our program and go off to some of the RPAs in the Air Force inventory.
So in the Air Force, your folks learn how to target and drop bombs, how to attack radar sites, how to control communications, the airspace and the radar space around the airspace. everything involved in those missions you make possible by your training.
Yes, and we do that at the foundational level, right? So it's undergraduate combat systems officer training here. So we provide, you know, that baseline element that, hey, we can call you a professional aviator, and then they go off to their formal training unit to hone the skill specific to conduct combat operations.
How many a year do you graduate?
So we hover right around 240. So 240, okay. We usually have about 250 students in training at any given time. But we typically graduate about 240 per year, and we're looking to expand that as we kind of grow the field, especially with the electromagnetic spectrum requirements.
And which is obviously has become more and more important over the years, because it used to be you control the air, you control the battle, now you control the EM, you control you can't control it without controlling that, as we're learning in Ukraine and elsewhere. Anyway, what happens? This is to understand the significance, because again, it's interesting that we have Air Force component here. People might start to be getting the sense of how important it is what you do and what your operation does. But what happens if you fail to accomplish your mission on board NAS Pensacola, training the CISOs and the WISOs?
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to highlight where we kind of start off. So we are the sole source of generating combat systems officers for the U.S. Air Force. So, you know, failure here on NAS Pensacola for the 479th could potentially be failure for those mission sets that the Air Force relies on to have combat systems officers on board. So, you know, across that, you know, bomber, fighter, SOF, ISR communities, it all starts here, because there's not another base who has the like mission that we have. So all of them start here at NAS Pensacola, which is a fantastic place for us to do our training.
And you mentioned SOF in passing. People may not know the acronyms, but Special Operations Forces, which would be like what happens at Hurlburt. And
yes.
So you know from personal experience, having been at the other end of the pipeline, the importance of what you do now is the training mission. Man, fascinating stuff. How many times have you seen Iron Eagle?
Probably lost count this one, although I am more of a Dr. Strangelove guy.
Nice. So, all right.
I mean, it's all about the big board.
You can't fight in here. This is the war room.
Yeah, that's right.
Nice. All right. And you did bring your lieutenant with you, and you actually brought your daughter with you, so getting to see a little bit of dad at work. And I just love it. You've been here for how long?
Just got here in January.
Oh, okay.
However, third assignment on the Gulf Coast with two prior tours down the street at Hurlburt. And
maybe an affinity, maybe a request here or there for the. All right, I like it. Very good. Well, Colonel Moscato, great to have you on the show. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. Thank you for doing what you do. Thank you for training our men and women to be CISOs and WISOs. And also, as I say, just explaining to people what your operation does. It's been my pleasure to be able to expose the tenant commands to the public and get them to learn what you all do and the sizable component and the essential component that you provide in the training pipeline for the United States Air Force. Thanks for your service and the time. We'll talk to you again soon. Nice to meet you.
Great. Thank you very much. If I could, you know, just put out there, it's not just the officers we're training on NAS Pensacola. It's officers and enlisted across Corry Station, Whiting Field, and NAS Pensacola. So thank you for the opportunity, Andrew. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. 756 News Radio Pensacola, John Pickens. That's traffic on the fives.
If you're on Davis Highway and Johnson Avenue, seeing some delays due to that wreck that happened on Johnson Avenue and Eli Road, got some backups there. Other than that, things are looking good on the roads. I-10, I-110, all flowing very smoothly right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Hey, you know, we talk about education and the importance of it. And I'll just tell you, Pensacola State College is a phenomenal resource. My kids took great advantage of it. We put two of them already through 3 years of dual enrollment. That means they're in high school and they're also in college at the same time. So they went to university to study mechanical engineering with a year and a half of credit under their belt, kind of all your basics, so that they didn't have to take those things at university, which for us as homeschool parents was great, because they got classroom experience, working under time deadlines, working with other students that they hadn't had as much of before. So it has been a real benefit to us. So if you've got a kid who's, you know, maybe ready for dual enrollment, which there's no cost for that, right? That's a provided service, free books, free tuition. You want to get their feet wet a little bit in college and go to PSC and get some of that college credit. Classroom teachers who are very focused on teaching and not so much on the research side, which means they're more devoted to teaching. Flexible schedules, because they have all different kinds of course times. Pensacola State is a great resource. Campuses in Pensacola, Warrington, Milton, Century, South Santa Rosa, downtown Pensacola, and Santa Rosa Industrial Park East. Find out what PSC can do to help you reach your future goals at pensacolastate.edu.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. and she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Bonacus & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Bonacus & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Bonacus & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Bonacus & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Bonacus & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
How long could your business function without email? I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. Three Gulf Coast businesses had their email shut down for 2 days because one employee clicked a spam email link. Be suspicious of any unsolicited email offers, especially if they are too good to be true. Businesses on the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
7:59 here on News Radio Pensacola. Again, we podcast all of these episodes. I hope you're enjoying it and liking to find out what takes place on board our military bases and the military mission. I know it's a pleasure to bring it to you. Coming up next hour, we have the Transgressor Moral Service. We have the wrap. We have Julio Diaz to talk about movies. Lots of stuff to get to, and maybe even some news from David Wayne, who I know is eagerly waiting in the newsroom to bring you your headlines at the top of the hour. Thanks so much for listening.